Welcome. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. I have, since I was first saved, have loved the book of Philippians. It gives help on how to live a Christian life victoriously. How to live a life that brings joy, victory, and peace. I really think that most Christians should know a lot more about it. You ought to read it. It's just a little book, four chapters. I'm going to pray that I get clarity and help you. And let's just read the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 1. I'll read the first verse, you read the second. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you.
Always in prayer of mine for you all, making Christ with joy.
For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace.
For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ.
And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment.
That ye may
being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you rejoicing in the great salvation that you have brought for us. Lord, we thank you that it's a gift, for we know in ourselves that if it were in our power, we would lose it. We would throw it away. We would ignore it. So, Lord, we just ask you for forgiveness from our laziness, our self-centeredness, our foolishness. And, Lord, help us to become servants that praise. Lord, that we become thankful of all that you've given us. And we begin to appreciate what it is. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak, and may my mind be clear. May you touch every heart that's in this room. And if there is one lost, I pray, Lord, that soul might come to you and be saved. Bless this meeting. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got saved, and a very little bit that I know. I knew the history of Jesus from Sunday school and church. I was raised up in Sunday school and church. And so I memorized various things, the Beatitudes, the Ten Commandments, and stuff like that. And so I was somewhat familiar with the Bible, as most people are familiar with the Bible that are in the modern Christian churches. And yet when I got saved, I knew some things I was doing were wrong. So I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling. Now I had it made, right? That's all there is to Christianity, right? No, there's a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Now, I had enough trouble in the first few months. The guys I was working with, they'd smoke and blow it in my face. And they thought that was discouraging to me. It made me mad. They were trying to defeat me, and I was determined I was not going to be defeated. See, I'm a little hard-headed. Now, some of you don't know that. I understand. But I have a hard head. And my daddy kept complaining that he couldn't put a 40-year-old head on a 17-year-old body. Any of you had a few teenagers, you'll realize what he was talking about. At any rate, I began to read the Bible, and I every time I wanted to smoke, I would just pull out a New Testament and stop wherever I put a piece of paper. And I read my Bible my New Testament 20 times the first year I got saved. Boy, I was getting some knowledge. And then I come across this little book here, Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And you know, I began to read this more often than I read anything else. I love it. It's a joy book. It's a Christian's joy book. And you ought to want to get into it and understand a little of it. See what Paul is praying for. See if he's trying to get you out of trouble. Bless your heart, he is. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints. Didn't know all those saints lived back there in Philippi, did you? A lot of people think certain people are saints. Well, I tell you what, everybody that's saved is a saint. If you've been saved, then you've been sanctified. And if you've been sanctified, that means you're a saint.
Amen.
So what's he talking about? He's talking to the believers. All the saints. I can say to all the saints this message is going to them. It says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what grace is? Man, it is one of the greatest blessings of God. You think about yourself being in a tight spot, maybe some of you, no doubt, are in a problem today. Brian's just been through all sorts of things, and now he's got his wife with diabetes in the hospital. It just keeps adding up. Maybe sometimes that's a hard place where you are. Well, God's grace and His peace that come from the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, He blesses us. Now you're going to see, He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now He's telling them what He's doing. And this man spent a lot of time in prayer. You may not know it, you may not think about it, but he spent a lot of time in prayer. And so he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't that a blessing? You got somebody you can thank God for? Do you have anybody you can thank God for? Do you have somebody that you love and that loves you and you know they love you? What a blessing. There's some people out there in the world that don't believe anybody loves them. There are people around this world that are miserable. They're children raised without mother or father in the house. And all sorts of problems. And there's depression. Can you imagine all of the people who want to commit suicide? They don't have anybody that they think loves them. They don't think life is worth living. Have you ever thought about that every pleasure you have is because you're alive? Right now. If you didn't have this life right here, well, you wouldn't enjoy beans and cornbread or tortillas and tamales and Coca-Cola. You wouldn't. You wouldn't enjoy fellowship. You wouldn't enjoy a lot of things like it. I tell you the truth, man. You are blessed. Amen. You are blessed. And if you've got friends, if you've got family that love you, you ought to thank God for them. Thank God you had a good home if you had a good home. And thank God that you found the church. Thank God that you found some other Christians. Some people that would love you. Maybe you don't have it back in your home or even in your family. But blessed are there ought to be somebody at church that you love and that loves you. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. He's praying for them. There's certain things he wants them to have, and he's asking God for it. Now, this is the man that asked the churches to pray for him. Pray for what? That he'd have a door of utterance, that he'd be able to preach the gospel, that the doors would be open, and that he'd see souls saved. And he just asking the church all the time, pray for me, pray for me. You think, here is one of the greatest soldiers of Jesus Christ, one of the greatest missionaries you could ever read about, one of the greatest writers that you'd ever have an opportunity to read, and he's asking saints, common believers, you. He's asking you, pray for me. Pray that I'll have power when I preach. Pray for me that I'll touch people's hearts. Pray for me that somebody will hear the word and accept Christ as their Savior. Pray for me that others would be delivered from a future in hell and given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's something to pray about. And you know, you ought to be praying. Some of you are too lazy to pray, bless your hearts.
Yes.
You'll confess Christ, yes, you'll be here, but you're too lazy to pray. But that's what he wanted done, and he asked the churches that he was going to pray for him. And he's saying here, he thanks his God, and always in every prayer, making requests with joy. There are several places in the Bible, especially you go back into the children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt and the 40 years they spent in the wilderness and then the troubles that Moses had with them, all their complaining. It's not just an American attitude. It's people. We are all so selfish. We're only interested in what affects us. And we're so selfish that we don't think about a world dying and going to hell. We worry about our job. We worry about our house. We worry about our floor. We worry about the yard. We worry about all sorts of things. And we complain. Are you a complainer?
Yes, amen.
Yeah, guilty.
Amen.
Guilty. You're a complainer. Murmuring and complaining, and God got mad about it. Why don't you study? Make a study on murmuring and complaining in the Bible. It'll be an amazing study for you. If you'll just look at it and decide to be honest with yourself as to your own attitude. Here's this man, and he's thanking God for them every time he thinks about them, and he's making the request with joy. Not complaints. Not murmuring. Not feeling sorry for himself. Oh, man, he proved that over and over again. Now, I don't think I would like a jail cell very much. I've preached in a few of them. I've been in prisons. I've preached in prisons. I remember one time I went to Huntsville. And as I walked through the gates, that big iron gates that was automatic clank behind me, I did not like the feeling. I did not have a boy. I couldn't get out of here if I wanted to. No way to make it. With joy. With joy. How much joy do you have? I get criticized every once in a while because I have a lot of joy. And you might think I'm not serious enough. Oh, I'm way too serious. I'm more serious than I need to be. I would rather be happy and joyful and praiseful rather than worrying about, is she going to get so mad? Is he going to? You know some of the things I pray about at night. You. You big bunch of complainers. That's right. You big bunch of complainers. You ought to confess it as sin and ask God to forgive you. How much has God given you? What do you think you are one of the poorest people in the world? You're the richest people. Common people. You're richer than 99% of the people born since Adam. You are. Even if you're one of the poorest of us. Wow. What joy we ought to be going to the Lord in. Even while we're praying and asking for things, we ought to be giving, expressing our own joy at what God has done for us.
Amen.
I'm spoiled rotten. I was spoiled rotten by my parents. I was spoiled rotten by my wife. I've been spoiled rotten by this church, and I've been spoiled rotten by the Lord. And I'm 82. Hallelujah. Wow. Never thought I'd get to be this old. Some of you didn't think I would be either. Now, what's he making requests with joy? He said, for your Fellowship. Fellowship. I like to be here all the time. In fact, when I have a big revival meeting, we have prayer meetings before and whatever, that's a good time for me. I don't know about you. You may think it's a little bit of a drag or something like that. No, that's my joy time. I like the mission conference. I get about half our missionaries. We get them all back here, and we're fellowship, and we're telling stories, and we're eating together, and we have a week of constant companionship and fellowship. Wow, that's good stuff. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this thing, and this is one of the most tremendous verses, especially if you have a sort of a down spirit and you have a hard time lifting your head up sometimes, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to throw you away. He's not going to cease to listen to your prayers. His righteousness will still be covering you in your sin. He loves you like a father loves a son or a daughter. And I know something about that. I had a good big family, and I thank the Lord for them. Wow. I'm confident. That's what he's saying. Being confident of this very thing. What is Paul confident about? That he which hath begun the good work, who is that? Jesus, God, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When I got saved, a lot of them were saying, oh yeah, we've seen a lot of people do that. Give you a couple of weeks, you'll get over it. Hey, that's over 61 years ago.
Amen.
I haven't got over it yet. It's still the most important thing in my life. I am forgiven. When I understood really what the gospel was doing for me, that Christ was taking all my sin on him, and he's giving me his righteousness to stand before God, it was a load taken off. A great load taken off. I didn't need somebody to prove to me I was a sinner. I've met a lot of people that I have to try to get them to be a sinner before I can get them saved. They don't admit to this. And I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed a Savior. I knew that I just might not make it into heaven. And when I called on Jesus Christ and I read from the Word of God that he takes my sins, remembers them against me no more, buries them in the depths of the sea. Wow. Praise God. That's joy. How can you be sad when that's your case every day? Believer, you ought to have your head up a little bit. He which hath begun the good work. I'm confident that what God started in you, he's going to finish. That's what he's telling them. That's a message for me. That's me. I take this book right here, and I believe it's a letter to me. God was speaking to me, and God began to lift my spirits day by day by day. And oh, man, some storms came my way. In fact, I had a full bird colonel, that's the next thing to a general, tell me he was going to put me in jail and throw away the key. I went home and told my dear wife, young lady, I said, looks like I'm going to jail for disobeying the direct order of an officer. And I was scared. I said, you better get ready to go home to mama, because I'm going to be, I don't know where. You know, I had to obey anybody that had three strings on his arm. Boy, sitting up with a full bird colonel? Whoa. You know what I did? I ran to the chaplain. Praise the Lord. Now, I had not been in the chapel since I'd been in service in boot camp. I went over there and ran into a chaplain that was actually a major. I said, wow. I told him my story. He asked my pastor's name. I gave him his telephone number. I was going everything they had. You know how I save money by getting saved? The pastor told me, I said, what do you want me to do? He said, get baptized and start tithing. Well, I didn't know what tithing was. He said, it's giving 10% of your income. Well, I didn't even have a bank account. And so I've made $196.30 a month, me and my family. I was making, Berlin and I were making $520 a month when I joined the Air Force. We were doing well. What an idiot, huh? I was going to 20 years retire. That sounds good. Till you got to realize how many idiots you have to obey to get that 20 years in. Excuse me. I thank God for all of our military. Don't get me wrong. But they're the biggest complainers in the world. Soldiers. Soldiers build their life on complaining. Are you soldiers? I guess some of you are. Or you just have the complaining bug. That's what you have. You got the feel sorry for me bug. You got they hurt my feelings bug. Did you ever think that God's not too worried about your feelings? Billy just tried to hurt your feelings this morning. Some of you. No, he really didn't. He was trying to give you the Word of God. But you know, that doesn't matter. Do you know what people do? People get hurt over truth. They get hurt when you say something and they don't particularly like it. That's a shame. But anyway, that fellow called my pastor. Now, I have people that think this is their church, and they drop in once or twice a year. But I'm their church. You know, I'm their pastor. If somebody called me and gave me their name, I might not know who that is. You understand? Because, first of all, I've got dementia. I don't remember some things. But at any rate, I have two pages of notes up here. Because I'll get wandering off of the trail, you know. At any rate, that pastor knew me because I was there every time. At the end of the month, I had a one-button roll. That's what just one button on the coat, and you had a long lapel going all the way down to your waist and one button down there, and it was a nice suit. When I was in high school, I worked at a suit store and bought one before I left there. So I had this one suit I hocked for $10 at the end of every month. And then I had to pay $12.50 to get it out. So for two or three days, I had $10 at the end of the month. You know what? That was a big church, and they had everything going. I went to everything. Women had a meeting. Lindell's sitting back at the back, seeing what he can learn. I was visiting, knocking on doors, trying to win souls. That pastor, though he had 500 people in Sunday school just about every Sunday, he knew my name. And when that chaplain called him up, he realized I wasn't just a guy trying to get somebody in trouble. I went back to see him the next day, and he said, don't worry about a thing. I've talked to your colonel. He says, if they ever give you an order like that again, you come tell me and you obey them. And we'll put that Russian Jew and Irish Catholic in jail. They're not going to mess with you. They're not going to put you in jail. They're not going to hurt your rank. Whoo! So I walked into my meeting with this tough colonel. He said, Mr. Kincaid, you've never had anything against you in all the time you've been in service. And you went in first on promotion list for 29 months. He said, I'm going to have mercy on you. Woo! You know what they did to me? They were afraid of me. They were literally afraid of me. They gave me a job of a staff sergeant. They took me off the flight line where I was filling planes. They put me in control of an aqua system that carried the oil and the water alcohol for the big bombers that we flew. I sometimes had staff sergeants working for me, and I had two strings on my arm. Boy, did things change. They had to have a secret clearance to get on our base. They couldn't do anything close to those planes without that secret clearance. And I had the place off the flight line, and so they would be there for 2 or 3 weeks. It was really funny. But they did not want to mess with me because that chaplain said, "We'll hang them." They knew that was a wrong order, but you didn't do the right thing. Now, man, you talk about feeling confident. I'm just barely saved. I haven't been saved months. And here it is, God came down to me, and the devil scared the daylights out of me. It really did. I thought, man, I've lost it, you know. And then I went to this chaplain, and he happened to be a good chaplain. Not all chaplains are good chaplains. This one was a good one. And when he took care of that situation for me, he said, "Don't worry about a thing. Go on with him." And that's exactly how it happened. You know something? Reading a joy book like this, with that verse right there, "He which hath begun a good work in you." That's what God did for me just a couple of months before. He began a good work in me. He's going to perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I didn't think I'd live to be 60. I'm 82. I know I keep saying that, but it keeps surprising me. I'm 82. I'm an old diabetic. I got heart trouble. They slit my throat. I'm still going. Now, I may go home tonight. You understand? But up to now, my life has been blessed. Is yours? Can you look back through your life and you see where God has blessed you? He's moved things to change things. He's put you in a good light. He gave you a good job. He fed you all those things, and you got it because you got life. And you got a life that's touched by God. You've been touched by God. And you know what? Paul said, I'm confident that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, you ought to take heart from me. Yeah. Praise God. I'm 82. I've been saved over 61 years. Been preaching over 61 years. And by the grace of God, I'm still preaching. Now, I may forget before I get through this sermon and drop off on a chase a rabbit or something. But at any rate, bless God. Has he begun a work in you? Well, that's what he's saying to these people in Philippi. He which has begun a good work, what's he going to do? Well, what the book says, he's going to perform it. He's going to finish what he started in you. You're not even going to mess it up. Because God Almighty is on your side.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Now he says, verse 7, it's meet, it's suitable, it's right for me to think this of you all. Because I have you in my heart. You know, there are a lot of people that are raised in a neighborhood when there's not a lot of love. That's not my case. It's not your case if you're in this church. That's not your case. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of love. Love, love from God, from your brother and sister, from just a good friend. A lot of love. Thank God for the love that we have in Jesus Christ, and it's spread around. I have you in my heart, both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul saying, I love you. You matter to me. Your success matters to me. Your faithfulness matters to me. Your working for Jesus matters for me. Your testimony matters to me. Do you have anybody like that? Do you have anybody like that that would really be hurt if you fouled up? Well, I do. I think you do too. And Paul said that's exactly the way he was. I long after you. Now look at verse 9. This I pray. Now he's told us who these people are. They're people that have been born again. They're people that are gathering in the church at Philippi. They are the saints, and they're also the bishops and deacons. This is a church here that he has on his heart. And he said, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Paul's saying, I want you to love. I think the Ten Commandments is an absolute great moral law. And it's a negative law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. When it came, it was glorious. It still is. You can find it all across the United States. You can find it around the world. But the one that reaches me more, convicts me more, is the positive side of the Ten Commandments, where Jesus gives it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You don't do that. You fall short.
Amen.
And every time I read it, I don't think, yeah, I love the Lord with all my heart. And I think, well, no, I like my guns. I like my car. I like my dog. You know? I love some of these things. You do too. You love what money can buy for you. You love what it can do for you. You love your friends because of their help to you.
Amen.
And hopefully you love the church because of the fellowship of the believers.
Amen.
He said, I pray that your love may abound more and more, and in knowledge and in judgment. Some people love and they don't do it wisely. But he wants you to do it in knowledge and in all judgment. I'll tell you something else. Verse 10. That you may approve things that are excellent. You may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Wow, what a prayer. The Lord wants you to be this. It's not just one or two or three of you. This kind of prayer, good night, it reaches a whole lot more. It's much more important. It's much more convicting. That your love may abound yet more and more. You would approve things that are excellent, and you'd be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Wow, that's a goal. That's a goal that ought to be the church's goal. It ought to be your goal. It ought to be the goal that you fill your family with. It ought to be the goal that you raise your children with. Wow. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Look at Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Your conversation is your life. It's not just the way you speak. It includes the way you speak, but it's the way you live.
Right.
People see what you are, the kind of life you live. Well, it ought to become. Now, that's an old word, like you look very becoming. It means beautiful. It means very attractive. Let your conversation, your whole manner of life, be something that makes the gospel of Christ beautiful. That's it in a few words. It makes the gospel of Christ look good. Now, I know some people, and their testimony of Christ makes people turn their nose up. And I know others that their testimony, their conversation, their life, because of the gospel of Christ, is an addition to the gospel. They say, if that's what a Christian is, I'd like to be one. Instead of the other side, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want one to be one.
Amen.
Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. How about that? When's the last time you saw a church like that? Are we? I don't think so. I think we got a lot of different opinions in this church. I think we got a lot of different goals in this church. But what God would want, what Paul would want, he said, I want you to live like something that would make the gospel look good. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, that you stand fast, one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I wonder how many Christians are in San Antonio this morning. I wonder how many people are in church. Born-again believers. I'm not talking about people who wouldn't be saved. How different are we? Our purposes are different. The meetings of the church for different reasons. All sorts of things. We're not, as we ought to be, united in preaching the gospel and getting people saved and trying to live by the Bible. We're just not there. And yet that's where we want to be, where we ought to be. God demands something. Look at Philippians 2:9. 9, 10, and 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is the purpose of God? What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of your testimony? Have it right here. The name of Jesus every knee should bow. You know what it said? Things in heaven. Everybody in heaven is going to bow to Jesus. Things in earth. Oh, there are a lot of smart alecks out there that don't think they'll ever bow the knee to anybody. They're going to bow. They're going to bow their knee. And things under the earth. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. What's he going to do? They're going to bow to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is Lord.
Amen.
He is God. He is the only Savior. There is no other way. There is no other way to get into the presence of God the Father than by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said it himself.
Amen.
In John 14. I am the way. I am the truth.
Amen.
I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Yes, we do have the only God. We have the one the whole world needs to come to and will come to as the future comes around. Look at Philippians 2:13. We had Paul's prayer. Now, God's demand, how about God's work in you? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's God working. That's God working. I've been in times, I've been in a home, I've been witnessing to people, and it was my work and whatever. I was doing the very best I could. Didn't get very far. And then all of a sudden, God touches something inside that room. You feel it. You know it. Somebody gets saved. They start realizing they're a sinner. They realize they're going to face God. They realize there's a judgment out in front of them. They realize they need some help. And the Holy Spirit of God comes in, and God does a miracle. He saves a soul. And the Holy Spirit goes into that soul and changes the mind.
Yes.
Changes the mind. Makes people think differently.
Yes.
They're not like they were before.
Amen.
They recognize they're a sinner. They're thankful that God has forgiven their sin.
Amen.
They want to serve God and they want to love God.
Amen.
And that's a miracle.
That is.
It's a beautiful miracle. It is God which worketh in you. That's what happened to me. I don't know how you go back to your salvation. I was happy-go-lucky. I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I was 20 years old. Good night. I wasn't worried about death. I wasn't worried about cancer. I wasn't worried about diabetes. Nothing like that had a bother to me. Had the world by the tail with a downhill pull. I wasn't worried over my sins. I wasn't worried over meeting God. And then all of a sudden the Bible came into my house from a country preacher in New Mexico. And everything he had to say was, "I don't know, son, but the Bible says this." And he just fed me scripture after scripture after scripture. Now, I don't know where I got it, but I believed all of my life that this King James Bible was the Word of God.
Amen.
I just grew up with that. I don't know whether my dad taught it to me, the church taught it to me, somebody else taught it to me. I have no idea. I just know I believe the Bible was the Word of God. I believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That was just in the back of my mind. Now, all of a sudden, a friend of mine has died, 21 years old or so. I realize I can die. Where am I going to go? Do you know where you're going to go when you die?
Amen.
Some of you may not. If Jesus Christ has paid your debt, you're going to go with God.
Amen.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ has not paid your debt, you're going to go to hell. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not by church. It's not by a priest. It's not by good works. It's not by keeping the law. Nobody. He came to save sinners. You got to be a sinner to get saved.
Amen.
Doesn't that sound foolish to you? I come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. The world thinks that's foolishness. No, the people that help little old ladies across the street and the people that give their money to poor people and the people that do a great job in helping others. Oh, they're the ones going to heaven. No, I'm telling you, my friend, that's not true. Good people don't go to heaven and bad people go to hell. I know a lot of bad people that have gotten saved.
Amen.
We just had 10 days with one. I knew some others. I've known some tough preachers in my life. They were in jail, and one of them, a church, actually stole his offering. He was the evangelist there, and they got him mad. And I thought, what a foolish thing to do. Now, some people you might steal their offering, but I wouldn't have stole it off of this guy. He would have been the blood brother to our evangelist. Bad news. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's Philippians 4:4. And again I say, rejoice. What's Paul telling that church to do? Get happy.
Amen.
Get happy. Think about what you've got. Think about what God has given you. Think about what your future holds. Get happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm saying rejoice. Well, I tell you, Christian, God does not like murmurers and complainers. God likes people that rejoice in His Word. Do you need anything more than the Word of God? I don't. I don't need anything more than what He says. I believe what He says. Back there in John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I'm going to go away and build some mansions for you." And He makes a little statement that has just gotten bigger and bigger to me over the years. "If it were not so, I would have told you." Wow. If there were no hell, I would have told you. If there were no heaven, I would have told you. If you could lose your salvation, I'd have told you. If you couldn't trust the Word of God, I would have told you. Can you believe that God would have told you? This book is the Word of God. I can't prove it to you. I couldn't prove it to any atheist that came around. But I believe it. And you know what that means? That's faith. Yeah. What is faith? Abraham had never seen the city. God said he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He took it by faith. Abraham is the father of the faithful. He's doing all right where he is. God says, get up and go to a place I want you to go. By faith, he picked up and moved out. Joseph went as a slave into Egypt. And basically, though he was the head of the land, the Pharaoh was over him. He was Pharaoh's slave. And he said, when you guys leave, take my bones with you. How do you do that? By faith. Can you believe what God says? If you can, you don't have to murmur and complain so much. If you can, you can rejoice. Now, if this book's not right, you might as well murmur and complain and get all bent out of shape. And that's just exactly what the devil wants you to do. There, how could they possibly say that to me? Oh, goodness, scratch it. The gossip, the gossip, the gossip, the gossip, the gossip, the hurt feelings. I'm not going to forgive anybody. How many things have you been forgiven of?
Amen.
How in the world can a born-again believer who understands the Word of God take offense at somebody's word or somebody's mistreatment of him and say, I'll never forgive them? Well, what did Jesus do for you?
Amen.
Get over yourself. Rejoice in what God's done. Count yourself happy, blessed, fortunate, wonderful. You've got life, eternal life.
Amen.
And it'll last forever.
Amen.
Don't let your little feelings get hurt. Don't hold grudges. Can't you just forgive?
Amen.
I had some things that were done to me and it upset me. And I was burning in them. And I realized how many sins God had forgiven me. And I had to say, how can I say I won't forgive this so this person doesn't like my hat or my shirt or my personality? Who cares? What difference does it make? I've been forgiven of all kinds of sin. I've been forgiven of pride and stupidity and arrogance and baser sins. And I won't forgive my brother because they made a statement to me or they thought different than me. How can you not forgive? I had someone really treat me bad, really was. And I was mad. And I went for about a week or two. And I couldn't hardly sleep because I was, pardon me, cussing them out in my head. See, I got saved, but the cuss words there. Now, I don't say them out loud, but every once in a while. And I began to rebuke myself. You have forgiven all things. Death of Jesus Christ. He doesn't hold a thing against you. He said he's forgotten them. He's buried them in the depths of the sea to be remembered against you no more.
Amen.
Wake up. Grow.
Amen.
And I just finally had to say, Lord, they're in your hands.
Amen.
Do what you please. I'm not asking you to hurt them. I'm not asking anything else. You know what? I sleep pretty good.
Yeah.
You sleep a little better.
Yeah,
who cares?
Yes.
It's little stuff. It's pity ante stuff. Most of the anger and the hurt and everything like that, it's over little junk, little stuff. If you just speak it out loud, people that have wronged you, when you have been forgiven everything and been given the gift of eternal life and to go to heaven forever with Jesus, you're pretty stupid. You're pretty selfish. You've got a bigger opinion of yourself than anybody else has. They don't think that much of you. So what's the big deal? So somebody hurt your feelings. Don't divide a church over something like that. Don't divide a family over something like that. If somebody's wronged you, really wronged you, tell the Lord about it and forget it. Forgive it and forget it. Let God continue the work in you that He started. And if you're not saved, salvation is a gift. You believe it. You need to believe that Jesus Christ can forgive your sins and save your soul. He said, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe Jesus Christ died, rose again, that He paid the debt to God, He created a great salvation? Take it. Ask Him for it. Seek you the Lord while He may be found. He can be found now. He can be found. Seek you the Lord while He may be found. Tomorrow, He may not be found. Tomorrow just might be too late. May God help you. I'm going to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea, but that Thy blood shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come.